Now back to Brian Bushlack's business briefing on FM News 101.
And time to talk business, politics, and economics with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us by phone this afternoon here. Well, Pat, thanks for joining us. You know, we talked off air about this in the past week, and you posed the question, has the financial press lost it? And I said, yeah, I agreed with you. Tell me why you think they've lost it.
Well, I think it's I may be a little harsh using that term, Brian, but what has become very apparent is that the financial press lacks context or a perspective that deals with the realities of the world we're living in, and that's a big statement. But what I'm trying to say here is the financial press, by nature and by mandate, reports data points. It is data-driven. It goes day-to-day looking at whatever the latest report is. It extrapolates on that report. It offers conjecture. It tries to weave a plausible scenario given the most recent set of data. But what's happened in the world, since starting in 1980, is that we have changed the fundamental underlying principles of our economy. We are a debt-driven economy, and we've talked about it before on your show. It's going to take a few years to digest deleverage, refi, and get the economy back on a more stable footing. The second thing that's happened, and while everybody acknowledges this, I still don't think they fully understand its impact, is that we're in a global economy now. And because we're in a global economy, individual data points in the U.S. Neither have the impact or the import that they used to have in moving our economy. And we are much more subject to general global trends. We are much more subject to the impact of what's going on in Europe and Asia. And while we talk about it, we still look at data points like they're going to have a significant, meaningful impact on a very short-term basis, and that doesn't happen. So we've got a press that by nature is focused on the most recent newsworthy item, which is whatever statistical report or economic report came out yesterday. And I think since, and we can get into a socioeconomic discussion here, but since about the 60s, the press feels compelled to offer opinions on every bit of fact. So they take yesterday's news and they say this is what it means, and they've lost relevance, to be honest with you. You and I were talking 2 weeks ago. All the conversation was about inflation. The 10-year bond went up to almost 2.4. Everybody was firmly convinced that we were going to see a rapid increase in inflation. I reminded you at that time that we'd had this conversation almost exactly a year ago. And so now we have the 10-year bond under 2 again today. The issue of inflation has abated tremendously, and now we're back into worrying about, well, whether we're going to have a sovereign debt crisis in Europe. Does the 8.1% GDP in China mean that we're slowing down? So the press has lost it in the sense that it's all over the place on a daily basis.
Pat Stone joining us here on Business Briefing, and by financial press, I want to make it very clear. I'm referring, and Pat and I are both referring, to the national press. I think the Portland Business Journal does a phenomenal job of covering the local market, and of course we partner with them and welcome them on the show at least once a month to give us some perspective on the local business community. But Pat, I would agree with you on the national level, especially in regard to CNBC. In fact, I stopped watching CNBC in 2008 when they had a commentator who, quite frankly, gave extremely bad advice to people at that time when there was a liquidity crisis. She recommended paying off home equity lines at a time when many mortgage lenders were closing these lines or reducing these lines for many people who were either in a pinch or were about to lose their job. So I saw that and a lot of other stuff. And I think you're right that what happens, and in my perspective on this from my time at CBS and at the local Channel 6 here, is the fact that what reporters are taught to do, in fact, they are prodded to do, is what's called advancing a story. So if there's a news item that comes out on Monday, by Tuesday, it better be advanced. By Wednesday, it better be advanced because you got to stay ahead of the competition. So you've got to get something out there that nobody else has. And I think what it does is it forces, especially on the national level, it forces these reporters, producers, these assignment editors to go out and push the envelope and create news items that really aren't news. And it really starts to feed on itself, and then you get speculation, you get commentary, and you're right, it's in the present. There's really no perspective on the standpoint of, hey, this is going to take 5 years to turn around, so this little data point doesn't mean diddly. Do you agree?
I totally, Brian. And you know, give you just a real precise example. Every Thursday we look at the unemployment report, the number of jobless claims filed, and unemployment requests, and so forth. And then we have, on the CNBC and the other national press, we spend hours analyzing what that means. Most economists look at four-week moving averages at the minimum. They don't look at individual data points. And I think, and I don't want to be overly critical of the press on an individual basis, because like you say, they are doing what they are trained and asked to do, and that is to try to get public interest in their stories. And so they take a data point, and you can't really make economic decisions based on individual data points. It's I think all your listeners would agree, every time you make a decision on a single data point, you run the risk of betting the farm on the come, and you don't want to do that. You want to look at trends, you want to look at moving averages, you want to sit back and have some perspective. And the press applying press techniques to modern economic data is probably the wrong way to do that.
And Pat Stone throwing out a reference to the craps table. I like it, Pat. Great way to put it. The other thing, too, to give perspective for our business listening audience here, is the fact that so many of these folks, especially at the national level, are they're trained journalists. They're not trained in business. They have not run Fortune 500 companies. I know that there are many of the commentators who have had a dabble in the business world, but certainly not to your level. And they tend to focus on a specific sector or a specific area of the economy, and I think they do the best they can to learn about it, but there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's one thing to be a reporter. It's completely a whole other thing to actually be a realtor who deals with the everyday life issues that you deal with, or what you deal with a title company, or I deal with literally with people's lives. It's a whole other thing to report on it.
Absolutely. And again, I want to back up a little bit here and say that, your reference to local journalism and local business reporting, I agree with. And typically what happens in most of the local, in fact, in all the local media, is that they are looking at specific stories. They're looking at real things. They're not analyzing data points. There was an article in today's paper about real estate and the amount of buyers and slight increases in price and so forth and so on. It was very well done. It was done without offering a hard conclusion or trying to put forth a particular perspective. It had context. It had depth. It covered a period of time, and it referenced last year, and it was informational. What I have a problem with, and I think what drives you and I crazy, is the national press trying to attract attention, and it's a disservice right now, because we are in a long, slow healing process in our economy. And this idea that somehow we can day-to-day tell which way we're going is silly.
Hey, Pat, if you had to write the headline today for where we are going, how would you write it?
Patience.
Come on.
It's getting better. Look at Brian. We've talked about this at length, and I don't want to bore your listeners, but it is there's some very strong parallels with what Japan went through. That is that the financial system got astray, it broke. We are still heavily leveraged. We are refinancing. We are refinancing significantly. The total amount of debt hasn't dropped that much, but what we pay on it, our obligations and the type of obligations that we're carrying, are getting much, much better. And over time, as the economy grows, even at a 2.5% rate, we become healthier and healthier as a nation. Now, what is very, very positive is that corporations are ahead of the curve. They're much further down the road than the average consumer. They've amassed a lot of capital. They have refinanced their debt very intelligently, and corporations are in very good shape. Now, you hear a lot of the national press talking about, well, earnings aren't going to be as strong. Well, so what? That's okay. We can live with that. They've got capital to invest. They're strong. They're healthy. Banks are getting recapitalized. Banks are getting healthier. We talked about the recent stress test on a prior program. I think we are making very good progress. We still have a long way to go. We are going to be impacted by the European situation. We're going to be impacted by a slowdown in Asia. But, it's not horribly negative. If we have 2.5% growth for the next couple of years, by 2015, we'll be fine.
More with Patrick Stone when we continue. Will we see mortgage write-downs? That's up next after a break.